Justin's going, oh yeah, I remember now. We talked about this. Now, I do appreciate so much the opportunity to be here with you today and to bring to you a lesson from the Word of God. You know, as human beings, our bodies need certain things just to survive. We need food, we need water, we need air, we need light, we need clothes to wear and a shelter to protect us from the elements of nature. And the Bible talks about these needs in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. Peter writes by inspiration, and he tells us and says in reference to God, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So God has provided for us all things that do provide that we need for life, the things that we need, basic necessities of life, but he's also provided a way to take care of our spiritual life after this life is over. So we have been given all the things that we need by God. Now, it's only natural for us to seek out the things that our bodies need. It's a natural craving that we have. It's also natural to feel a sense of pleasure when those needs are met. You know, when we're hungry and we go and we get a good meal and we feel a lot better because we've had that hunger satisfied. Same way with thirst. If we're really thirsty and we get out there and we're able to satisfy that thirst, then we feel better. We have a sense of pleasure that comes over us when we meet these needs. And however, though, when we put the God of pleasure on the throne of our lives, it can lead us to seek pleasure above all else. And it's very selfish. We can become a very selfish and self-centered way of life. But the problem happens when someone discovers that a particular substance or a particular activity brings them a great deal of pleasure. Now, they may have a tendency then to seek it out to the point they become addicted. And addiction can take a lot of different forms. Now, you know, we often think of bad things such as drug abuse. We think legal drugs versus illegal can be abused. We think of alcohol and tobacco, even gambling, pornography, theft, things of that nature that we know are sinful, negative, and we think of these things sometimes. But, you know, even good things can become addictive as well. You know, if we spend an inordinate amount of time on certain things that may be good otherwise, but if we put them ahead of God, then they can become bad, especially if we become so obsessed with them that we just neglect things that we really should be taking care of. You know, maybe we get so involved in sports, maybe video games, maybe working or eating or playing or whatever. Even some people even get addicted to shopping. So many things, you know, can get going and get addicted and get us wrapped up in them to the point we neglect family, we neglect friends, we definitely neglect God. All of these things can get in the way, and we need to be careful about addiction and things in our lives. And someone may say, well, you know, I've never had a problem with that kind of thing. I've never really had an addiction to any kind of a substance, any kind of a drug or anything of that nature. And yet there are things that we all struggle with in our lives. You know, we sometimes have things we struggle with. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 is what I'm talking about. The Hebrews 12 and verse 1 speaks of the sin which doth so easily beset us. And someone may say, well, you know, I don't have a problem with any of these things, and yet they may very well have something in their life they're struggling with. They may have a sin. All of us have a sin that we struggle with. It's different for different people. We all are different. We have different things that we struggle with. But we often have something that is in our lives that we would like to get rid of. And we would like to replace it with something better. And I hope this lesson will help all of us that struggle with various things in our lives to live better lives and closer to God. Maybe some things will just cause us to be out of balance, things of that nature, things we might want to improve in our lives. And it's my desire that I don't have this that people don't get the idea I'm picking on anybody, because I'm really not trying to pick on anybody. I'm trying to give things that help us be more balanced, be rid of bad things in our lives, put good things into our lives to replace them, and talk about ways that we can do that and some of the reasons behind the things that we are become addicted to. I think understanding more about addiction can benefit all of us who want to change some of the behaviors and cultivate a more balanced life. So in this lesson, I would like to examine, first of all, the definition of addiction and discuss how it starts and how it affects our lives. And then thirdly, how to overcome it and live a life that's productive in service to God. Now, in each of these cases, I want to approach it first from a Bible standpoint and a scientific standpoint. I think both can offer things that help us on this particular subject. But let's look first of all at a definition of the English word addiction. Webster's Dictionary defines it, and it says, is a compulsive, chronic, physiological, or psychological need for a habit-forming substance, a behavior or activity having harmful physical, psychological, or social effects, and typically causing well-defined symptoms such as anxiety, irritability, tremors, or nausea upon withdrawal or abstinence. And it really cultivates a cycle of sorts. When we get what we need, we have that feeling of satisfaction, like when we eat it, and we're hungry and we eat, we're thirsty and we drink, we have a certain amount of pleasure there. But then over a period of time, you know, we get this need that develops, and we have that hunger that comes, and then we have, and when we want it, we seek it out, and we have trouble if we don't get a certain things. We have irritability, we have anxiety, these different things that are because we have withdrawals, we have problems there. It can be physiological, but it can also be psychological, brethren. We can have mental problems, mental dependency, as well as physical dependency. So there's different sides to this particular kind of a problem. Also, we might have a problem, and in speaking of things that are psychological, we might have someone who is a smoker and they quit smoking, and they quit for a year, and they've got to the point where they don't need that nicotine, they don't have the withdrawals and so on from that, but then they are put in a situation where they're around somebody, a group of people who are smoking. And they're reminded, the psychological part enters into the picture, see? And they're reminded, well, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. And they get drawn back into it by association. So we have to consider both sides. We have to consider the different sides of this particular problem. So what about the Bible and how the Bible defines it? Well, the word addiction, or a form of it, is used in the King James Version only once in the Bible, and it's actually used in a good way rather than a bad. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15, it speaks of the house of Stephanas and says, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And as you can see, that'd be a good thing, and that's the way it's the only place it's used, that English word is used. And then the Greek word translated into that is tasso, and Thayer defines it in different ways. That's why it can be used in a good or a bad way. But one of the ways Thayer defines it is to put one under another's control. And Paul, by inspiration, speaks about that kind of thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And he says in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 6, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now notice that last phrase, he's not going to be brought under the power of any. Brethren, that's what happens when we get addicted to something. It has power over us. It begins to control us. It begins to take over. Our priorities change, and things of that nature get a hold of us. And he goes on to say then in 1 Corinthians 6, that same chapter, verses 19 and 20, he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. You know, as Christians, brethren, we should not allow any substance or habit or behavior to come between us and God. God's supposed to be first in our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6 and verse 33. He's supposed to be first. And you know, as I've said many times, all the devil has to do is get Satan to, or get God and Jesus to be second. He doesn't care what's first. It can be anything that's first in your life as long as it's not God. And he's won the battle. It doesn't matter if Jesus is second. That's fine. That suits him just fine as long as something else is first. And so we need to be careful about addiction in our lives and getting to the point where it becomes the focus of our lives, whatever it is, and if it becomes more important than God. Now, we might ask the question, well, how does it get started? Well, it often gets started small, like a lot of sin. It gets started small. You know, no one says, when I grow up, I want to be an alcoholic. Who said? Nobody says that. I mean, but that's how it gets started. You get started small, and yet it becomes that. It becomes that. And we go get wrapped up into that. Becoming addicted to anything really often starts small. For example, young people may be over at a friend's house just for something good. Now, you know, maybe they want to listen to music or watch a ball game or anything of that nature. A group of young people get together and they say, well, somebody's there, and they say, well, why don't you try this? You know, peer pressure gets into the picture. Why don't you try? It's just maybe it's just a cigarette, maybe it's a drink, maybe it's taking pills, maybe they're betting on a sports event, anything that might trigger something in their mind that says, well, this is fun, this is pleasurable, and I want to do this more and more. And they begins to do that more and more, to seek out that pleasure, and it begins to dominate their behavior and their lifestyle. Brethren, a particular substance or behavior often becomes addiction for one of two reasons. First of all, they've got the God of pleasure on that throne of their life, and they want to seek pleasure first. The other reason is they've gone through a particular trauma or terrible experience or trial or trouble in their life, and they want a crutch. They want some way to overcome and minimize this problem that's in their life. So they turn to whatever this is, this addiction, as a crutch. So we need to be careful of it either way. You know, Paul warned Timothy about men who are, according to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And also Solomon tells us in Proverbs 21 and verse 17, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. So that's one reason why people get drawn into being addicted to something. And the second one is crutch seekers. You know, some may use drugs, alcohol, tobacco, other bad behaviors, even behaviors that are good that become chronic and important, more important in their life than God, and so on. Our world, brethren, as we know, I don't have to tell you this, it's full of troubles. It's full of trials. Life has its ups and its downs. But the answer is not some substance. The answer is not some behavior that you get into over and over and over to satisfy or beat that crutch or that craving, beat that problem. Jesus knows what it's like to live as a human being. And he tells us, and this is, happens to be the New King James Version, he says in Hebrews 2 and verse 18, says, talking about Jesus, it says, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. He's been there, as we might say in our way of talking. He knows what it's like to go through troubles and trials and difficulties. And we can use him and what he has to say and how he dealt with it by example as a pattern for us to deal with trials and difficulties in our lives. The Hebrew writer also says a little later in reference to Jesus in Hebrews 4 verses 15 and 16, says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we are not going before God in prayer, before God that doesn't understand us. That's what that verse is basically saying. He knows what we're dealing with. When we have a trial or a difficulty, we don't need to turn to some substance, some chronic repetitive activity, anything of that nature as a crutch, but turn to God, and He can help us. We need to go to church, read the Bible, have Christian friends, and if you have, you know, we need counseling. There's elders, elders' wives, so on, depending on the situation. There are people that will help you through trials and difficulties other than turning to these substances. Now, I want to get into a little bit of the science behind this, but let me qualify it first of all. We understand science is not a source for absolute truth. It often gets modified as the knowledge base of man grows and changes. It often gets modified along the way. But yet it can be helpful, I do believe, in understanding addiction and some of the things that are behind it. And with that in mind, I want us to look, first of all, at John 17:17 to make the point. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. In John 8 and verse 32, the Bible tells us, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If this world stands 1,000 years, the Bible will still be true. What it says today, and it says 1,000 years from now, it'll still be absolute truth. It won't change. It'll still be just as true 1,000 years from now as it is today. You can't say that about science. So keep in mind we still go to the doctor, don't we? And when they still take the medicine, it still helps. So there are things that are profitable in man's knowledge. But I qualify that as something that might be changed down through the years. I want us to look at what science tells us are four chemicals that are called what you might say pleasure chemicals that our brain has. Dopamine, endorphins, serotonin, and oxytocin are these. And when it comes to when scientists talk about addiction, they often talk about dopamine more than anything else. It gets the most attention when speaking about addiction. And it's often produced when a person is experiencing anything that gives them pleasure. It's something that is natural to feel better when you eat a meal, you're thirsty, and you get a drink, or even when you listen to music or watch a sporting event. Anything that you personally find pleasurable will reduce this substance. It will produce this substance in your mind. That is normal. That's a normal amount of dopamine and pleasure chemicals. But what happens with addiction is a substance produces an abnormal amount of this in your body. And it causes you to want more and more and more. And when someone uses drugs, alcohol, or even bad behaviors that they like particularly well, it can cause an abnormal amount of these pleasure chemicals to be released. And it disrupts the normal things that we find pleasurable. It even causes us to be dependent on whatever this is for others. For some, it may be gambling or pornography or anything that incites your brain to release this dopamine and other pleasure chemicals can cause that. And it can cause us to be addicted to that. And these substances, according to some studies, can even cause the part of our brain, this frontal lobe, that is responsible for judgment, they can even cause that to be impaired and where you don't have the capacity for good judgment to get away from these things. You know, addiction, as we talked about, may start small, but as our bodies become more and more tolerant of the chemical we're addicted to, they require a larger amount of whatever it is we're addicted to produce the same amount of pleasure chemicals. So a person just get a high dopamine rush or whatever the chemical is from a small amount of cocaine or whatever it is, and then later it has to be a larger amount and a larger amount and a larger amount as the Bible develops a tolerance for that. They become desensitized to whatever it is that substance is. And as an addict's life becomes more dedicated to the pursuit of the object of their desires, they get to the point where they have more withdrawals if they don't get it. So it gets to the point where it's not about seeking pleasure, it's about avoiding pain. They don't want the pain of the withdrawals, so they keep on and on and on with this chemical. And their addiction gets worse and worse and worse. And they get to the point where family and friends and loved ones begin to notice there's a problem. And they may come to them and they say, you know, you've got a problem. You need to get help. Why don't you just stop? Some well-meaning people say, well, why don't you just stop? Well, if a person's got to a certain point, they can't. They become so dependent and so dedicated and their body has become so dependent on this that even stopping it could be hazardous to their health, depending on what it is. Withdrawals can, depending on how the physical dependence is, can cause a lot of problems. Even heart attacks, seizures, tremors, any number of things that would be negative to a person's health can take place if a person is suddenly withdrawn from one of these substances. And, you know, the first step, though, to overcoming addiction is to first realize you've got a problem. If y'all remember the prodigal son, we have this account of that in Luke 15, 11 through 32. And he is not ready to come back home until he's wasted all his substance, until he's gotten so hungry that he wants to eat what the hogs are eating. And then the Bible tells us in Luke 15 and verse 17, and it says, and when he came to himself, he had to hit the bottom, as we say. He had to hit rock bottom and get him to the point where he knew he had a problem. He knew he needed help. And so he goes back to his father and gets the things that he needs. Well, drug addiction and alcohol and other addictive things that we might have to, they have to get to the point where they hit bottom. Now, some people try to, and they may be well-meaning, but they try to cover for them. They try to help them. They try, really what they're doing is enabling them. They may give them money. They may cover for them at work. They may even bail them out of jail, whatever the case. But they're not helping. And we need to realize we're not helping the situation by doing things of that nature for them. But a person has to get to the point where they want to be helped. And even then, if they have a chemical addiction, they may need help from medical professionals to overcome some of these withdrawal symptoms that I was talked about. They may need some good drugs to overcome the bad drugs, you might say, just to keep them from having a heart attack or having a terrible withdrawal symptom. So even after, though, professional help is received, people often return to the thing they were addicted to because it's more than a physical problem. As we talked about with the tobacco problem, there's a psychological side. When a person gets around those, they're smoking, well, they think, well, I like this. I forgot how good this was. Same thing. That's why these people that help with addictions and have these clinics and so on, they say somewhere between 40 and 60% of people relapse. They go back into whatever it was they were addicted to. It's a psychological thing as well as a physical thing. You know, a person may need to change the people they associate with. They may need to get a different job. They may need to move to a different town or state. We need to remove anything that triggers us to return to our addiction. Now, there are scriptures that have to do with this sort of thing, and Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 through 30, and he says, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And he goes on to say, and if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, we understand this is not supposed to be taken literal. Now, I don't think Jesus ever intended us to actually poke at our eyes or cut our hand off or anything, but what he was saying, and still it's true today, we need to do whatever it takes. We need to do whatever it takes to get this away from our lives. We might need to change jobs. We might need to move out of the town, to another state, whatever it takes. He used extreme examples so we could understand maybe it takes extreme measures to get us away from the problems that thing and things that draw us into the addiction, things that trigger our addiction to relapse. Change whatever it takes, but get away from it and do whatever it takes to break this addiction. And also, we need to keep in mind we got to take rid of the bad, but put something good in its place. And we have an illustration in the Bible for that in Luke 11:24-26. And I'll just summarize this for the sake of brevity. But there was a man who was possessed with a demon. The demon was cast out, and he was fine, but he doesn't put anything good in the demon's place. And so the demon says, well, the man's life is empty. He has nothing, so I'm going to go back in. And he takes more demons with him, and the last state of that man, it says, is worse than the first. And that's certainly a Bible principle for all of us. The bad things can come back into our lives if we don't put something good in their place. It's one thing for an addicted person to get that out of their life, but they need something else. First of all, if they're not a Christian, they need to become a Christian. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the one thing that a person can, and the only thing that can remove the sin from a person's life that is struggling with addiction. But at the same time, we understand there needs to be consequences for that addiction, and that a person will just have to deal with. But the sin can be gone in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the forgiveness of sins. That sin can be removed. But we need to understand James 4:7 talks about and says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So you get rid of the bad in your life. But the very next verse says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So we can put something back in its place. Go start going to church regularly, read the Bible, go around Christian friends, involve yourself in wholesome activities, whatever it takes. Get rid of the bad and replace it with something good and go on with our life and stay away from whatever it is we've become addicted to. And even if, like we talked about, you weren't addicted to something necessarily bad, maybe you're just out of balance, I hope some of the things that I've talked about can help you be more balanced in your life. And if there's something, some area you'd like to improve upon in your life, maybe understanding more about these brain chemicals and the pleasures and the withdrawals and things, I really hope that these things can help you become a more productive Christian in service to God. Let me encourage you, as we talked about, to become a Christian if you're not, in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. If you've once done this but have strayed away, maybe you're struggling with some of these things we're talking about. We'd be glad to help you and encourage you to do what is right and be a better person in your life. We'd like to help you in any way that we can if you'll let your needs be known as we stand and sing the encouragement song.